Welcome again, everyone, to the Mid-Atlantic Championship Podcast, the podcast that travels back into time to review classic episodes of Jim Crockett Promotions' Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling program as they appear on the WWE Network, and we can hopefully add a little historical context to them to boot. I am Mike Sempervivi, losing the ability to speak the English language here. A little bit dry. Get some water here. Thankfully, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Roman Gomez. This is proper episode number 10, and in this edition, we'll be taking a look at the Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling episode, which was taped on Wednesday, March 10th, 1982, at the WPCQ Studios, Channel 36, in Charlotte, North Carolina, and aired in local markets on Saturday, March 13th, 1982. And before we move on, I just want to say thank you to all of you honoring us with your patronage. If you want more content related to this show or just to reach out to us, you can do so via Twitter and Facebook. Just search at Mid-Atlantic Pod and look for the logo. There you can find two of our very popular features, On This Day in JCP TV History and hashtag Everyday Arn, where we post video clips celebrating the greatness that was Jim Crockett Promotions Television, as well as the greatness that is the enforcer, Arn Anderson. And if you want to follow along with us as we review episodes of the show, you can do so by signing up for the WWE Network over at WWE.com. Or you can also follow along by way of David Taub's write-ups of our shows, which are available over at our friends at the Mid-Atlantic Gateway, MidAtlanticGateway.com. And without any further ado, I will bring in my co-host, Mr. Roman Gomez. And Roman, a little bit of a bittersweet episode this week, as we should be opening the show talking about your fabulous trip to Circleville, Ohio, the very scenic Circleville, Ohio, to check out what was going to be a scene of former and current professional wrestlers all getting together to celebrate the life and times of Bobby Fulton. But unfortunately, on very, very short notice, that did not happen. And much like everybody else in the world, you have been stricken down with the pain that is not the coronavirus, but the effects of the coronavirus. How was your weekend? And thank you for not being too salty today doing this show.
Well, thanks to you, Mike. I was actually able to find out about the cancellation of that show about 10 hours before I was going to fly out of my town. And it's been crazy. The big show I worked closed a day early. A lot of people left without paying their bill. People were leaving 5 hours early, hopping on a plane. This virus has got everybody in panic mode here, and it's affected our work. A lot of people are losing their jobs. Casinos are closing down. It's been quite the crazy time here in Vegas, but things are going to get better. I don't know when, but I'm looking forward to the day where we can get back to our lives being normal and have baseball back on the air and being able to watch wrestling matches where there's actually a crowd. That would be fun to see for a while. And yeah, I'm looking forward to things getting back to normal.
At some point, they're going to have to. Now, we're going to try to do our best to make things better by doing this show right here. In fact, you may get a lot of these shows in a lot shorter order than you usually do because, well, my work's being affected by all of this stuff too. So Roman and I may have all of the time in the world, and we may be actually doing these shows possibly with a little placard in front of us with a little can that you could donate in, maybe a guitar case opened up that you could chuck some money into. But for right now, we'll just kind of hold on.
Say, if you're in Vegas and you see me with a lemonade stand, be sure to stop by and buy two glasses off me.
Yes. Have your little sign up for psychiatric advice, but it's going to be a little bit more than 5 cents that Lucy charged Charlie Brown. But, you know, you shouldn't. You know, I can't complain too much, and especially listening to the Bowdren and Barry breaking kayfabe. And if for anybody else out there who has not heard this yet, Jeff Bowdren, they did the show from the hospital because unfortunately Jeff is there. He's been diagnosed with lymphoma. So we send our absolute very best out to him. They have gone 128 straight weeks doing a show without missing one. We made it, I think, three. Was it even three? And that's because we had taped those in advance. So hopefully they can keep that streak going, and our best out to him big time. on that.
Definitely. But thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. And take it back to something that makes everybody feel good, at least the people here on this Arcadian Vanguard family, and that's old professional wrestling, and that's what we're going to get back to here in Mid-Atlantic Championship Podcast, covering Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling episode that aired on March 13th, 1982. As we go into this episode, we are still in the midst of the NWA World Tag Team Championship Tournament. Some of the steam has come off of it. We are actually still also, even though it is not going to be revealed this week, as they said last week on the show, who contributed the most to professional wrestling in 1981? That will make an appearance on this show today. Ironically enough, to further the Roddy Piper-Terry Taylor tension that has been going on over the last month or so. This episode opened up with Bob Caudle alongside Johnny Weaver and Ray Stevens at the desk. The first piece of audio I'll play is actually joined in progress, as Ray Stevens doing the introduction is washed out by the overdub to Don Ray's Got to Have Lovin' that they play on the network to begin the show. So with that, I'll give you Stevens throwing it to Bob Caudle, who throws it to Johnny Weaver, who ultimately throws it to Jake Roberts, to cut a pretty hefty promo on Sergeant Slaughter and his recent actions.
We got some great names here tonight. There ought to be a lot of excitement, Bob.
Johnny, just to name a few of them, we got guys like Ivan Koloff's going to be here, Jimmy Valiant.
That's right. Ole Anderson, Stan Hansen, the Briscoe brothers are going to be here. Carl Fergie and David Patterson is the threat to the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Championships. And
don't
you know
that Ivan Koloff.
Ivan Koloff's going to be here. And you know, whenever you get a group of stars like this in one arena, anything can happen, and usually does. And many times, a lot of things come up, and one guy gets involved in something with another one because they just can't settle their differences, and you don't like what the other guy's doing. One of those individuals who recently got into one of those situations is prancing on the floor
over here,
and I want to bring him in so he can talk about it. Jake is Snake Roberts.
Yeah, Jake Roberts. Come in,
right
Jake.
Here.
Thank you a lot. You know, John, you don't get an opportunity very often to come out here and say what's really on your mind, you know. Usually it's out here about a certain individual or something like that. And I just like to take this opportunity to say that I don't think that the promotion in the area is handling this situation quite right, because of men like Ole Anderson, Stan Hansen, Roddy Piper, you've got Koloff, and the worst, I think, is Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Slaughter's taken two men that were very young, very impressionable, and he's turned the guys into animals. And in doing that, he has done some things that I don't feel that are really up to the ethics of pro wrestling. When I first started wrestling, I was under the impression that you stepped into the ring against one man or against two opponents with a partner, and you wrestled to the end of that match. When that match was over, you got out of the ring, and you went right back to the dressing room. But Slaughter evidently doesn't know this. He's jumped Flair in an incident that I think is one of the worst in wrestling history. Whenever he jumped Ric Flair and Rick Steamboat after the match, here's two men that had wrestled for 35 minutes, give it their all, and then he's going to come out there as soon as the match is over and jump them with two guys. The odds were, you know, 3-on-1.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then when Flair came back to help Steamboat, they dumped Steamboat out of the ring and continued on Flair. Now, had Steamer not been the kind of man that he is, he would not have been able to return and to help Rick. But he scooped up the nearest thing to him, a chair, and thank goodness it was there, and came back in there and cleaned the house. And by the time the troops got there, it was a little bit too late. Well, I'm not going to ask anybody to go down the ship with me. But what I've come out here to do is to issue a challenge. Slaughter, I don't think you're man enough to beat me 1-on-1 in the middle. Now, you might be, but I don't think you are. I think you're the kind of guy that's going to take the cheap way out, just such as with the deal with Ron Ritchie. He jumped him when Richie had his back turned and clobbered him. So I'm here to say, 1-on-1, anytime you want, any place. So let's get down and do it.
I tell you, I think he's ready, don't you, John?
I do, too. I think we should get right on it.
All right.
An exciting match. Come
fans,
on.
We're going to have a great match for you in just a moment right after we take time out for this message.
Big promo by Jake Roberts there to start the show, to set up and let everybody know this is where he's going at with Flair. And, you know, this comes from that attack after the Flair Steamboat match that everybody has kind of chimed in and commented on, really built Slaughter up as the main heel of the territory, even though Roddy Piper is still the thorn in everyone's side. Sergeant Slaughter, overwhelming presence that's in the room. When it comes to singles wrestling, at least, there's Ole and Stan Hansen on the other side, but certainly Sergeant Slaughter and his hat looming over everyone. Slaughter and being this big figure here, basically because we've had Austin Idol be featured so heavily in the last couple of weeks, and Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen and certainly Roddy Piper on commentary, even though the Marines and their ascent has been very important, Sergeant Slaughter, the singles wrestler, Sergeant Slaughter, the wrestler, the competitor, the United States champion, has kind of he's kind of been in the background a little bit when it comes to TV work. I think probably Blackjack Mulligan Jr. and the Cobra Clutch Challenge has probably been the biggest thing this year for Slaughter, other than getting into it with Flair. As we roll into March here, as we go into the springtime, with Sergeant Slaughter as the U.S. champion, now being kind of, I don't want to say reestablished here on TV, but looks like he's going to be more of a focal point.
Well, I think it might be one of those things where you don't want to give the fans too much for free. You know, if the Slaughter Wyndham stuff, it makes sense to kind of tease it on TV. That way you can get them to go to the arena and watch it. But I think you're right. It looks like they're going to make Slaughter a little more prevalent.
One heel that's been a focal point of the show, because he's got to be a focal point of the show, is Ivan Koloff. And the reason he's got to be a focal point of the show is because he is the world television champion. And because of that, every time he wrestles on TV for the first 10 minutes, that television championship is on the line. It's on the line for the first 15 minutes at arena shows, as Johnny Weaver explains during this match. But it's Ivan Koloff against Ron Ritchie, who came back with a little bit of fanfare after being gone from the territory for a little while. He came back, as we talked about a few weeks ago. This time he goes up against Koloff, and as I mentioned, for the first 10 minutes, the TV title is on the line, and he didn't fare very well here, Roman. Ivan came out very aggressive and stayed that way throughout the match. It only went about 5 minutes, and it was a pretty uncompetitive 5 minutes. Ron Ritchie ultimately won the match by DQ when Ivan Koloff was DQ'd for kicking too much ass. And I'm going to play the end of the match here and then come back and get Roman's comments on it.
Man, this is just one of the outstanding matches you're going to see. Remember, you're going to see Jimmy Valiant in action.
Boy, Koloff's just going wild up here right now.
Oh, he just pushed the referee away. Referee said ring the bell. He's not going to stand for that.
He's going to call for disqualification right there, and Koloff is still going.
And Koloff won't quit, Johnny. Ray again, the referee's trying to get him away from Ray. There goes Ritchie through the rope, out of the ring, down on the floor.
Well, Ivan Koloff has been disqualified in this match right here. As he leaves the arena, we see the referee attending to Ron Ritchie over there, and we're going to see it in slow motion right here.
Well, you can see, right, not only was Koloff rough with Ritchie, but he got rough with the referee. And that just doesn't pay. No way he was going to get away with that. As the referee said, you know, it's all over at that stage.
We had already the referee being pushed down, and it was all over right there for Ivan Koloff. His disqualification, of course, he holds on to his TV title, but Ritchie gave him a pretty good battle.
Well, Johnny, I disagree. It was not a pretty good battle. Ritchie got beat up pretty good throughout the whole thing, and I guess in a way you could say that Ritchie was protected here in that his shoulders were not pinned to the mat, and in fact he got a disqualification victory over Ivan Koloff, but it was pretty one-sided there with Ivan just pretty much stomping away. And I didn't mention who the referee was to start the show, who Ivan had thrown down during this match. It's Bill Alfonso as the Florida connection continues. Roman, what did you think about the match with Ivan and Ron Ritchie, Ivan's aggressiveness, and kind of where Ritchie is at right now?
Yeah, last week they put over Vinny Valentino on commentary, and this week it was Ron Ritchie's turn to be put over. They said that he had a successful tour of Florida and that Ivan Koloff better be careful. This match was pretty much all about Ivan, you know, very aggressive, very strong style in this, and that's what ended up leading to him getting disqualified and, like you said, I guess kind of protecting Ron Ritchie by not having him get pinned.
The next match, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant against Big Bill White. Jimmy Valiant's entire intro and entrance cut out, thankfully, so he didn't have to deal with the overdub that usually comes with that. And this was a Jimmy Valiant match. It went about 2 minutes and 40 seconds, and you would have figured it actually felt a lot longer than that in some ways.
Yes.
With Jimmy working the left shoulder / trapezius muscle with the weakest looking claw hold that you've ever seen in your life. At one point, Jimmy yells out, "I can beat him anytime, baby." And it's like, man, I wish you would have. When we come back, I'll get your thoughts.
I can beat him anytime, Justin. Beat him anytime.
That's got to fill him full of charisma, too. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Here's Ivan Koloff. Ivan Koloff just walked into the...
Oh, big elbow.
And
it's Koloff up on
the... Elbow drop. Here's Koloff. 1, 2, 3. And here's Koloff and Bayon.
And they're going at it. Back and forth. Look at this fight. Koloff and Bayon.
Heading down, trying to choke him.
Look at him plug it out. They certainly are. That's Koloff out of the ring now. Koloff is heading to the dressing room.
Ivan Koloff had more than he could handle right there. And
it
Jimmy
sure
Valiant.
Looked like it to me.
So still absolutely livid over Jimmy Valiant interrupting his match a couple of weeks ago by getting into a fight with Stan Hansen and Ole Anderson, which made its way to the ring where Ivan Koloff was standing, and he just happened to be collateral damage for the Boogie Woogie Man. But Ivan is still incensed over this when it comes to Jimmy Valiant. We will hear from Ivan a little bit later on. And as I mentioned, Roman, this was a very boogie match, and it was one of those matches that maybe he could have went 30 seconds. He could have just punched Bill in the trapezius and hit him with the elbow and the elbow drop he usually does, and Ivan could have run in then. We didn't need so much boogie on offense, I don't think. But ultimately, Valiant gets away with the DQ. What did you think about the whole scenario?
Well, who knew that Bill White was Columbus or Magellan or whatever is. Ray Stevens said he's traveled all over the world. That's not something I'd expect to hear about Bill White, but Ray Stevens not once, but twice alluded to the feud of Valiant and Swede Hansen. Not Stan Hansen, but Swede Hansen. I just thought that was kind of interesting that that slip of the tongue happened a couple times. But, like you said, he worked over the trapezius muscle. I guess he's a big fan of Mr. Fuji or something, the way he was working on that nerve hold. And the match definitely could have been a lot shorter, until Ivan Koloff came in to put an end to the match by doing his run-in.
It was then time for a bumper sticker promo, but this was not your ordinary bumper sticker promo for all you fans up there in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who are checking out the show and listening to the sultry sounds of Southern Gentleman Big Bill Ward. We got a little bit more in that we finally got a date of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling coming to the Lansing Civic Center. Now, in reality, this was Georgia-led, with WTBS being the anchor and the driving force behind this. Yes, Mid-Atlantic had gotten TV up in Michigan, but the biggest stars in Ohio and Michigan still came from WTBS. And any time that Crockett would venture south into, say, Savannah, Georgia, I believe it would be, or out to Ohio when they would run shows past Knoxville and going up into Michigan when they would run Cincinnati, they would make sure to have Georgia guys on the card because those were the names that the fans knew. And you're going to hear a lot of that as Big Bill Ward is joined by Rowdy Roddy Piper to talk about Wednesday, May 5th at 8:15. Yes, we're a couple of months away. But not only do we have a show, we've got a card. So get your bumper sticker, self-addressed stamped envelope right in hand ready, and get ready to scribble down this card.
Fans, may I remind you to note the address that you have on your TV screen. If you will write this address down, you'll see what I have in my hand. If you will send to the address on your screen a self-addressed stamped envelope, you will receive in the mail, in the return mail, one of these Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling bumper stickers. Now copy the address that you see on your screen right now. Copy it down. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the address. In the mail, in the returning mail, you'll receive a Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling bumper sticker that you will value for a long time to come. Let me also remind you that Lansing, Michigan is coming to be the big center for wrestling. And it's going to be a program at the Lansing Civic Center, Wednesday, May 5th at 8:15 p.m. Buzz Sawyer versus Ray Stevens, Michael Hayes versus Ron Bass, tag team match, Ole Anderson and Big Stan Hansen against Bob Armstrong and Kevin Sullivan. Superstar versus Tommy Rich. Roddy Piper, the rowdy man, Roddy Piper against the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Here's Roddy.
Lansing, Michigan. All of a sudden, wrestling is becoming the biggest thing in Lansing, Michigan. And you know why? Because I'm coming to Lansing, Michigan, the heavyweight Mid-Atlantic champion. And who do they give me for an opponent? Dusty Rhodes, former heavyweight champion of the world. You see, Dusty Rhodes, you've come just a little out of your category here, Mr. Rhodes. Oh, I know all about you. I'm the American Dream, baby. Let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, you want to know? Listen to me. Ask Iran what they think of the American Dream. You come up here. Oh, yeah, your pectorals look like you've had six litters of puppy. Big legs like whiskey cakes. Are you kidding me? You look at me, I'm 232 pounds, as skinny as I can get. I am truly the greatest wrestler in the world today. But you know that. You've seen me nationwide. Dusty Rhodes, he heard, he says, who am I fighting? I'm fighting Roddy Piper. And his legs start quivering. And like jelly, his belly shakes. And there he says, Roddy Piper. He says, listen, Roddy Piper, I wrote the book on dirty tricks. Mr. Dusty Rhodes, I wrote the revised edition.
Dusty Rhodes wrote the book on dirty tricks, but Roddy Piper wrote the revised edition. Great line there. As you hear the card, yeah, Roman, that's a Georgia Championship Wrestling show.
Definitely. What a great line by Piper. He right up there with when they think they have the answers, I change the questions. Piper was always good at the one-liners.
Yeah, we've had a couple people, too, kind of rubber stamp the work he's done on Mid-Atlantic as being better than some of the work he's done in Georgia. They didn't, of course, rip the Georgia work. That was great. But maybe he was a little bit better with Bob Cottle than people want to give him credit for. Again, we all may be looking at this with JCP glasses on, but damn it, we should be. Now shouldn't we? So I will continue to roll on with that. Next match coming up, Pretty Boy Carl Fergie no longer teamed up with the Ox. Instead, he's teamed up with a mirror, almost, with David Patterson. The big natural, the big bushy mustache, he and Fergie, they looked like they could have been a brother team, honestly, out there. They faced off against Terry Taylor and Tim Horner. This is where we get a mention of who contributed the most to professional wrestling in 1981, as we are joined by David Crockett and Roddy Piper, both out there. Johnny Weaver and Ray Stevens have stepped to the side. And this match went about 4 minutes. It is relatively nondescript. We'll play a couple of moments from it here. Bob Cottle poking at Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper wasn't out there when Jimmy Valiant was out there. But Roddy, now that you're out here, hey, look, it's Terry Taylor. And oh, yeah, by the way, not only did Roddy come out, so did Austin Idol with that 8mm camera of his.
You know, all of a sudden it just dawns on me, Roddy Piper didn't even show up until after Jimmy Valiant was gone, and I just wonder if there was any significance in that.
Well, it just dawned on you, did it?
Yeah,
well, that's
dawned.
Why you're there. You see, Ivan Koloff doesn't even know how nice move I did. Look at the way they put that on. Ivan Koloff don't need no help for nobody.
Hey, Roddy, look, right there at ringside again is Austin Idol with that camera in his hand, filming this match.
You know, that's got to be distressing for the other wrestlers, just to know that he's there, never knowing really what he's going to do. But I think that he shows signs, he shows young wrestlers. What a move by
beautiful move by Kirby. Look at that forearm coming off of the rope.
Now, you don't hear too much cojones busting over Terry Taylor, but believe me, Bob Cottle did poke Roddy Piper a couple times about Taylor out there continuing the unsaid simmering feud between the two that had been going on now for basically the first 3 months of the year. As Bob Cottle made sure to point out that Terry Taylor had such an impact on fans of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling when he showed up at the end of 1981 that he got a significant number of votes from the fans out there. But unfortunately for those fans, David Crockett and Bob would crush their hopes by saying that Terry was not eligible for the award. He just didn't have enough time in. But moving on, I'll play the end of the match here for you as Carl Fergie and David Patterson get the victory over Tim Horner and Terry Taylor when Fergie pins Horner with a swinging neckbreaker in about 4 minutes.
The crowd is really picked up. And they are really behind as Tim Horner and Terry Taylor. A couple of young crowd pleasers in this.
Oh! Did you see that, Hagee? Yes, Horner was coming along like Frankston, but it shows you the little extra bit of experience that they have got as a
neck breaker.
Did you see that? Great. Cover him. Grab that lane.
He won't get out of that.
He's got him. He's got him.
But no way.
Fantastic. Just like Koloff. He'd do the same thing. Anybody that got in his way.
Well, the young team, I think, made a very impressive showing. They were just outgunned. Watch Horner right here take those tremendous forearms, and this neck breaker really put him on the mat.
Oh, yeah.
All Fergie had to do here was
cover. Notice when he covers him. Look, he's got every limb possible. There's no doubt about it. Is that
three.
A beautiful
it's
three?
It's all count. Over. There you have the winners, Carl Fergie, David Patterson. We'll be back. We'll have more.
So there you hear the end of that match, Carl Fergie and David Patterson getting the win there at the beginning of the show. Johnny Weaver pointed out that this could be a duo that could possibly be in line to win the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Championship. But as we've mentioned in past episodes, also at this point, the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Championship was essentially a prop that they would break out and only utilize when they needed to. Roman, what did you think about the match? What did you think about them as a team and just a Fergie and Patterson in general? Because they both lasted a long time, although Fergie is probably in some ways better known for being a referee in Mid-South. And when it comes to Patterson, he's just one of those guys that unless you were in a smaller territory, he really didn't get a chance to stand out.
To be honest, I was very surprised that Fergie and Patterson emerged victorious. The crowd was really behind Taylor and Horner, and just the last couple months, the way they've hyped Terry Taylor, even Piper on commentary, you know, at one point a few weeks back saying something to the effect of he could be a great one, almost as great as me. I mean, it wasn't the biggest upset in the history of wrestling or anything, but I was kind of surprised that it was an upset. And the neck breaker to me did not look that impressive to be able to put Horner down. But I don't know. Did you consider this an upset, Mike?
I wasn't sure which way it was going to go because with Patterson on one side and with Tim Horner on the other, it's like, okay, you know, you figure, okay, you know, if you're looking at where these guys are kind of on the totem pole right now, it's like, well, Terry Taylor's at the top, and then comes Carl Fergie, and then it's like, okay, well, is it Patterson or is it Horner? Because both of them have been treated pretty good, but both of them have been on the mostly on the losing side of affairs and mostly in tag team matches. But how is this thing going to play out? And I would have been more surprised if Terry Taylor had taken the L, that's for sure. Our next segment looked like it was probably a drop-in interview that was done in lieu of a Mid-Atlantic event that would be coming to your area, such as in Lansing, Michigan on May 5th. A promo session with a pretty good trio here, Ricky Steamboat, Jay Youngblood, and Blackjack Mulligan Jr., a.k.a. Barry Windham. And it starts off a little bit rickety with Jay Youngblood, but starts to pick up when Junior and Steamboat take over. I'll play that for you right now.
That's Rick Steamboat, Jay Youngblood, Blackjack Mulligan Jr. Jay?
I'll tell you what, you know, it gives me nothing but great pleasure to come back out here in the Mid-Atlantic. So, you know, it's been a while since I've been on here. I've been traveling all over the country, you know, trying to go up that top of the ladder to make it to the success, you know. I noticed out here earlier the Boogie Woogie Man coming out here, and he's stirring up all kinds
he's
of commotion.
Getting it down, wasn't
you ain't lying, you're getting down. I'll tell you what, everywhere I've gone, people have asked me about this man. Well, obviously, you can see that the man is holding up to his own. I heard the other day that he whipped three or four of them. And that included Stan Hansen, Ole Anderson, all the other guys, even Roddy Piper. I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of stuff going on here, but I'll tell you what, right now, I got my eye on all other kind of stuff. I know Junior's having a lot of trouble with Slaughter. Rick, you are too.
Well, I tell you, the trouble with Slaughter, it'll be over soon. But I tell you, I think Jimmy Boogie Woogie has got the right attitude about the whole thing. You just need to go crazy every now and then and just tear up everybody and just jump into it, right?
Get that's in there and exactly clean the house
it.
Out a little bit.
Oh, that's it. Exactly.
Hey, Rick, I know you're in favor of that.
Well, you know, that's true. You see a man come out here and take two or three guys on right on TV, all by him lonesome, right?
That's right.
And I know a lot of the fans are probably thinking that he may not be all there. Well, that may be true, but the fact is, I'm certainly glad, and you guys can agree with me, that he's on our side, right?
That's
true. And there's a lot of things that I could hit on right now. There's one of them that I want to hit real strong is the fact that Sergeant Slaughter, One of these days, him and I will meet in a squared circle. All I want is an opportunity to wrestle him on a one-on-one situation. And if he beats me as bad as he did the last time we encountered with the help of his friends, I'm talking about Carnoodle and Nelson, then I will say that he is deserving United States champion. But up until then, until we do meet on a one-on-one situation, well, that fact will remain to be seen.
All right, thank you. Rick Steamboat, Jay Youngblood, right, Blackjack Mulligan Jr. Fans, that's it at ringside. We'll be back. We'll have more right after we take timeout for this message.
I didn't add that at the end. They made a mistake. They left that in there. Don't tell anybody at WWE. Let that play. Let that marinate. Let that sit. Let us all have that moment of that outro music, that bumper music. Don Ray's got to have lovin'. The reason I believe this to be a insert with Mulligan Jr., Steamboat, and Youngblood is because as soon as that interview was over, it was time for a interview with Jake Roberts, cutting a promo, introducing the Briscoes into the area, including showing a VTR of them wrestling a match that took place the week prior on Worldwide Wrestling, where they faced off against Big Bill White and David Patterson. White taking the L in this match. Roman, I will point out that unless it's got something directly to do with Ole Anderson, and by way of Ole Anderson, Stan Hansen, unless it's got something directly to do with them, like the Briscoes coming in, is not one person today has mentioned the NWA World Tag Team Championship Tournament. Did that stand out to you?
Yeah, I noticed that too, that tournament not being mentioned after being hyped for last couple months, how important it is, and then just not to mention it. I thought that was kind of unusual.
Yeah, now, in the real world at this point, I believe this is when it feels as though things are starting to go south here a little bit with Ole Anderson in the promotion, and ultimately, by the time we get to June, this whole thing falls apart. We've got another update on the Lansing Civic Center show taking place in May, and another chance for you to break out your self-addressed stamped envelope and pick up a bumper sticker that you will cherish for the rest of your life.
Fans, may I call your attention to the address you see on your television screen? Jim Crockett Promotions, Briar Bend Road in Charlotte, North Carolina. Be sure to copy that down, because if you do and you will send to that address a self-addressed stamped envelope, we and Return Mail will send you one of these very, very attractive Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling bumper stickers. It's something that you'll prize and want to keep since you're a big wrestling fan. So copy this address down. That's it, Jim Crockett Promotions, Briar Bend Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. And just send a self-addressed stamped envelope. In the Return Mail, we'll send you one of these Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling bumper stickers that you'll prize for a long time. You fans in Lansing, Michigan, a big program of wrestling coming to the Lansing Civic Center. That's going to be Wednesday, May 5th on 8:15. Buzz Sawyer meeting Ray Stevens. Michael Hayes meeting Ron Bass. Tag team match, Ole Anderson and Big Stan Hansen against Bob Armstrong and Kevin Sullivan. Superstar meeting Tommy Rich. Rowdy Roddy Piper taking on the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. Let's call in Ray Stevens. Ray, a big program, and you've got Buzz Sawyer.
Well, I'll tell you, Buzz Sawyer is one of the top competitors in the world today. Everybody on this wrestling card is a superstar in professional wrestling, known all over the world, the biggest stars that you could find any place in professional wrestling, Bill. And I'm looking forward to going back to Michigan. I haven't been there in some time, but I'm looking forward to coming here and wrestling Buzz Sawyer, because if I can get by Buzz Sawyer, it's just another feather in my cap. And my reputation, I keep trying to build it up bigger and better all the time. Well, when you beat somebody like Buzz Sawyer, you've really beaten somebody. Of course, then you got tag team action. You've got Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen. You've got Tommy Rich. You got the superstar. These guys are great stars. You got Roddy Piper, one of the best wrestlers in professional wrestling today. Also one of the meanest, one of the fastest talking men in professional wrestling. But he's exciting, and I'll guarantee you, if I was there and wasn't wrestling, I'd go buy a ticket to see the rest of these guys wrestle. I think it's a great card, and it's a privilege for me to be on it. I'm looking forward to going back to Lansing.
That's right. That's going to be a big program at Lansing Civic Center on Wednesday, May 5th. That's May 5th at 8:15. It's wrestling you won't want to miss.
unlike wrestling that you wanted to miss, which was the Sheik's wrestling, which is why we were in a situation where Mid-Atlantic Television was hyping up a Georgia Championship wrestling show that was coming to their area. Did you ever get a chance to see any of the Sheik's territory? I know it's like a holy grail for some people to find the country and wrestling show. I know it definitely is for me to see exactly how bad this was. But were you ever, did you ever have a chance to watch any Detroit tapes? Was it ever something that you were interested in? Because I got to be honest, after I watched I'd Like to Hurt People, you know, kind of everything I've seen since then has really been disappointing.
I have seen a little bit, not a whole bunch. I've seen stuff with Bobo Brazil over there. Ironically enough, some of the stuff I've seen has actually been from Japanese television, where they had taped a couple things with Shiruta or whatever and the coming over. But yeah, I haven't seen a whole bunch, but I have seen a little bit.
When we get back from break, we've got the United States heavyweight champion, Sergeant Slaughter, who I mentioned at the beginning of the show, has not been as focused upon, which I believe is going to start changing here, certainly with the rhetoric of Jake Roberts, which the Sarge took exception with.
Right here, the U.S. champ, Sergeant Slaughter. And Sergeant, we've heard a lot of people say some not very kind remarks about you during this hour.
That's right. You know, you hear a lot of people talking about the Briscoes out here, Dusty Rhodes, and
Jimmy Valiant. Don't forget
Jimmy Valiant. They're all talking about Jimmy Valiant. But then again, they're all talking about me, too. I'm the main subject around here because I'm the U.S. heavyweight champion. And there's one guy that I don't like what he's saying about me. That's Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake Roberts, maybe you haven't heard what happened to Ric Flair. Maybe you haven't heard what happened to Ricky Steamboat. Maybe you haven't seen what's been going on here the last few weeks. But I'm the meanest, maddest, ugliest man in the world. And you're out here telling me that you like to wrestle me? Well, I'm telling you, Jake Roberts, if you want to wrestle me, you just sign the contract, get some more insurance, and kiss your wife and babies goodbye, because I am the number one man around here, the U.S. heavyweight champion, Sergeant Slaughter. I'll be waiting to hear from you.
All right, fans, that's it, Sergeant Slaughter. Let's go to the ring now, as we say we got tag team action right here.
Roman, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Sergeant Slaughter implied that he was going to kill that man.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Man, get your affairs in order, get the insurance ready, kiss your wife goodbye. That's you hear that, Cheryl? Actually, I don't think Jake was married at this. I don't know if he was married. It doesn't matter. What matters is that Sergeant Slaughter and Jake Roberts are very soon to get into it at an arena near you over the United States Heavyweight Championship. And as you heard Bob mention, it was time for our main event, a tag team match with Ole Anderson, along with Stan Hansen, with Gene Anderson in the corner, against Keith Larson and Don Gilbert. Talk about a one-sided tail kicking. This certainly was another here. Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen put the whooping on him, and Bob and Piper talk about Ole and Stan, as you'll hear on this next clip.
I don't think
you have the lights off at all.
I don't think you're going to ever see Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen off. I don't think they're going to have an off night.
But they put some of the teams they got with the Briscoes, Jack.
Yeah. Oh, Briscoes. I got to admit, what do you think a match with Hansen and Anderson and the Briscoes would be? What a tremendous wrestling match.
Yes, absolutely.
You could throw up the coin and pick them by the coin. I think that's how close a match like that would be.
Really? Look at how vicious this Hansen is. Just like you said.
Clothesline.
Yes,
just
sir.
About took his head right off his shoulders with that clothesline, and Gilbert can't even move as he flat out on the mat. Tremendous blow right to the head from Stan Hansen.
Roman, there you hear the three count, as well as the slapping thud across the chest of Keith Larson, where Stan Hansen landed that lariat. No thigh slap like in today's wrestling. No, that was all lariat against the neck, throat, and chest of Keith Larson. Just a thunderous Stan the Lariat Hansen there. And they get the victory in about 6 minutes. Again, a very one-sided match there to show off Ole and Stan, and gave chance, obviously, for Roddy Piper and Bob Cottle to kind of talk about the tag team tournament, talk about the Briscoes being in the area, giving them time to kind of lay out everything as far as Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen go, as far as them having a rival in the area and somebody that gives people the hopes that can knock them off. And what'd you think about basically how the whole thing was played?
Yeah, it was fun to see Hansen and Ole. Like I alluded to on a previous podcast, for years I'd read about them in the After magazines, and just to see them, even if it's in squash matches, to see Hansen and Ole together, what an impressive force they were. And they run roughshod over the team of Gilbert and Keith Larson, and Ole, in typical Ole style, worked over a body part for part of the match, and then Hansen with just that brutal clothesline. And yeah, it was fun to watch. It was fun for me to watch, and I'm glad I'm able, through Mid-Atlantic, to actually be able to see them finally as a team after years reading about them in the After magazines.
Yeah, because really the squashes that they would do in Georgia around this time would be a lot shorter, and obviously would be more to set up what was taking place around the loop, and obviously in Atlanta, but of course Marietta and Savannah, other places like that, as well as of course the northern tours as well, where they would be barnstorming through, which of course made it easy for Stan to do stops in Mid-Atlantic on Wednesday nights when they would really need him to be there for TV, and then kind of working his way around. And in fact, we're going to play a Georgia clip here kind of coming up that's got something to do with Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen, but with an interesting character that we've already heard his name tied in with another interesting character from Mid-Atlantic, but we'll get to all that in a minute. First thing we need to do is end the show, at least, you know, the television version of the show. Once the match was over, Ole, Stan, and Gene Anderson strided over to join Bob Cuddle on commentary, and that wasn't the only interview we would have to end the show.
Ole Anderson right here, partner Stan Hansen. Hey, you two guys. You
listen, there's nobody that's going to beat us, but the one guy that I'd like to shove a little bit of fist right down his throat, a couple of them. One, I look at Robertson. Two, I look at this Valiant. They're telling me they want to let everybody take a look at how great Valiant is again. Valiant, Koloff runs in there. They claim that Valiant knocked the heck out of him. Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, right here. What's this?
Okay.
And Valiant did. That's exactly what he did, Ole.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Valiant's a big kid now. He's making a big name for himself. First time he's ever, I guess, been in the big time where people could see him. He's right away got his head blown up way out of proportion. He's going to get a little bit too big, and there's going to be somebody like Hansen or Koloff or Anderson or Piper or Idle. Somebody's going to knock that head of yours right off your shoulders, Valiant. And as far as everybody else, we got a few problems with Rhodes and the Briscoes. We'll take care of them too quickly.
Yeah,
First of all, I want to say something about this real freak of nature, this boogie-woogie guy. First of all this rock and roll stuff ain't gonna get you nothing, boy, once you get in the ring with me and Ole Anderson. But I'm just speaking for myself right now, Valiant. You can get all that weird hair, you can get all that stupid hats every time and jump around to some Yankee music. But boy, when you step in the ring with me, brother, you're gonna have to pay the dues, starting with the lariat.
Ooh. All right, Santa. Austin, Austin's still with that camera.
Everybody upset is, you know, and you talk about people upset.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people complaining about this 8mm cannon right here, and they can complain all they want, Jackson, but you can believe one thing. Just as sure as my name is Austin Idle, and just as sure as their 8mm film on this camera right here, I'm going to the top. It's Austin Idle's quest for the world's title, and nobody, I don't care who it is, nobody's going to stand in my way.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about Jimmy Valiant, and right here we've been hearing about one that really caught it from Jimmy Valiant.
I've been hearing too much from Jimmy Valiant, boogeyman from New York City. Up until a couple of months ago, I was feeling very good. I had my TV belt, not a real threat among anyone, although this is the greatest wrestling area in the free world. And who comes along? This boogeyman from New York City. And what's he do first of all? He sticks his nose in Koloff's business. Comes out time and time again around the ring, interfering with my match. Well, I know how to deal with people like you, Valiant. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get this TV title away from Koloff. And you think by psyching Koloff out so I can't think, this way you'll be able to take my belt. Well, this belongs to me. And I don't care what I have to do to you, Valiant. I will not forget what you've been doing to me. And I'm going to finish you off one way or another.
All right, Roman, there we heard from Ole Anderson, Stan Hansen, Ivan Koloff, and Austin Idle, and I guess, you know, a couple of things there. First of all, Ole Anderson laying a little bit of shade in there. It's notable that he was never a fan of Memphis wrestling at all, hated everything Tennessee, and getting that line in there about Jimmy Valiant, this must be the first time he's ever been in the big time and where people can see him. Insulting, I guess, not only the people of Tennessee, but also of Illinois and Indiana, where Dick the Bruiser run, where Jimmy Valiant was a star there, as well as, oh, I don't know, the state of New York and New Jersey and throughout Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Washington, D.C., where Jimmy Valiant was a star for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, but Ole couldn't help but get his shot in there. I also noticed that I heard Ivan Koloff say, in the free world, when discussing Mid-Atlantic being the best territory and best wrestling spot in the free world. I mean, come on, Ivan. I mean, aren't you putting down Mother Russia by saying that? Are you going back to your Red McNulty roots by saying that one? I guess really my only other thought coming out of those interviews, Roman, before I throw it to you, I'll do it with a transitional question, which is, you know, you heard Austin Idol talk about 8mm film in the camera. Have you ever seen the movie 8mm with Nicolas Cage?
No, I haven't ever seen that movie.
Don't. It's very, very disturbing. It's one of those, it's about snuff films. It is weird. James Gandolfini, I mean, woo. You feel dirty after watching it, which is saying something. Like, it makes the ear scene in Reservoir Dogs feel like a Disney feel-good moment. That's how funky that movie is. But I guess that aside, what did you think about the that lineup of interviews there, including the fact that Ivan and Jimmy Valiant is going to start getting a lot more heated here coming up over that TV title?
Yeah, Ivan and Valiant, I mean, my gosh, they are linked together almost like Flair and Steamboat. I mean, they feuded forever. And Ivan was always one of my favorites. So anytime you can hear Ivan or Idol, it's just... thought it was a good way to end the show, because the show I thought was a little lackluster, but to end it with promos of big stars like that, I thought was kind of a good way to wrap up the show.
And speaking of that, I've got a promo of another big star here, and before we run down the results that took place in the area, I will mention that if you wanted to kind of sync up this week in your mind here at the Arcadian Vanguard Network, episode 13 of Mid-South Wrestling, the Mid-South Wrestling Review Show, that is the episode number that covers this week over in Louisiana and Oklahoma. Much of Georgia is available on YouTube, and at this time, Roddy Piper is beefing with Bob Armstrong and Tommy Rich, and Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen have their hands full as well with a major, major star whose name we've already heard be invoked. This guy here.
Now here at the podium is, in fact, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. And welcome back to Atlanta, sir.
God, let me just lay it on you real quick. You know, when I had the great Kabuka knocked outside the ring, once again, after all these years, the live volcano, every time it's not erupted, I look around and it erupts. Ole Anderson, once again, stuck his nose in on my business. I am sick. Ooh, I'm tired of it, Jack. I mean, I'm so tired of it. It's got to be over. I'd be out of everybody be talking about how good looking they are. Hey, I'm the prettiest. I'm the greatest lover. I'm the fastest. I'm the quickest. I'm the meanest. Ole Anderson, I'm the meanest. You know, whether it be Carolina, Greensboro, whether it be Louisiana, whether it be anywhere, I'm going to take it out. Oh, man, look at it. Man, so sick and tired, man. Get it off.
It's funny, you know, after all the years, you think one day you'd learn. But you just never learn, do you, Dusty? You're just a little bit too stupid. You got to be taught, don't you? You've got to be taught.
I'm ready for this thing right now.
Going to have somebody hanging around you. You're going to be all by yourself very shortly. When you are, we're going to jump right on you.
And there we hear Dusty Rhodes' The American Dream, thick and heavy into it with Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen on WTBS. Stan and Ole would try to get to Dusty Rhodes without anybody else around. That would end up changing, though, when Dusty Rhodes would get a surprise request to be his partner, coming from Terry Funk, who had been turned on by Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen in a six-man tag match that took place very recently. Now, we had heard the name Dusty Rhodes be invoked a little bit earlier on by Rowdy Roddy Piper down in the world of Georgia. Piper was having his hands full with Tommy Rich and the Bullet, Bob Armstrong.
Let's take a moment right now to talk about the matches upcoming, of course, at the Omni here in Atlanta. World Heavyweight Championship match, 2 out of 3 falls. Ric Flair taking on 6 times former World Heavyweight Champion Harley Race. And Rod Piper, who is very much involved.
Okay, you want to fight? You want to come out here and make a big-time shot of yourself, Tommy Rich? You want to come out here and think that you're going to beat Roddy Piper? You've been, hopping and hopping around all kinds of people, trying to make them all kinds of excited just for you. Well, let me tell you something, man. I don't give a damn about people. I don't give a darn about nothing, mister. I can talk big because I walk big. I can talk big because I fight big. The more I am behind me, right here in Atlanta, you want to see me fight? I talk big, brother, because I carry on.
There you hear Piper losing his mind next to Gordon Solie. He was confronted by Tommy Rich and Bob Armstrong earlier on in the show. Needed to be pulled away from those two by Gary Hart. Gino Hernandez also makes an appearance on that show. A very loaded up show for Georgia Championship Wrestling. But we will get to the results now from around the area. And TV was taped on March 10th. That was a Wednesday night out in Springfield, Missouri. Still holding on for dear life, Leroy McGurk's, formerly the Tulsa office that had been renamed Midwest Championship Wrestling when George Scott went out there to try to buy in and save the thing. Well, NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair was on tour and happened to be there on March 10th in Springfield, Missouri, defeating Paul Jones via disqualification. Also on that show, Eddie Mansfield beat Bruno Sammartino Jr., George Wells and Frank Hill would defeat Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen, and El Toro would defeat C.V. Afi. You know, that seeing that result made me think, you know, when they lost Jimmy Snuka and the Tonga Kid out of the WWF in 1984, I wonder if it was what the timing was, if C.V. Afi was already there, or if that was a guy that George Scott would call on to try to apply some salve to the wound that was Snuka in Tonga being out the door around that time. In Fisherville on March 11th, Roddy Piper faced off against Ricky Steamboat in the main event of that show. We don't have any results there. The next night on March 12th in Charleston, South Carolina, Blackjack Mulligan Jr. and Jimmy Valiant defeated John Studd and Ivan Koloff. The same night in Richmond, Virginia, Ricky Steamboat defeated Austin Idol in the main event of a show that also featured Jack Briscoe defeating Sergeant Slaughter by disqualification, and Roddy Piper and Stan Hansen defeating Ray Stevens and Leroy Brown. On the 13th in Knoxville, Tennessee, they had their WBIR TV studio tapings. Also that day in Greensboro, North Carolina at the Coliseum, NWA World Champion Ric Flair defeated Wahoo McDaniel in an Indian strap match. Ricky Steamboat defeated Sergeant Slaughter. And Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen defeated Dusty Rhodes and Ray Stevens by DQ. Jack Briscoe also defeated Roddy Piper by DQ, as Jake Roberts and Jerry Briscoe defeated John Studd and Austin Idol. On the 14th in Kingsport, Tennessee, Ricky Steamboat defeated Sergeant Slaughter by DQ, and Johnny Weaver defeated Lord Alfred Hayes by DQ, as that feud continued to roll on. On March 15th in Clover, South Carolina, we don't have any results, but the main event was scheduled to be Roddy Piper against Ray Stevens. In Wytheville, Virginia, on the 16th, they ran a show which was scheduled to include Ivan Koloff, Jimmy Valiant, Johnny Weaver, Lord Alfred Hayes, and Terry Taylor, amongst others. That night also in Columbia, South Carolina, Roddy Piper and John Studd defeated Ricky Steamboat and Ray Stevens as Porkchop Cash defeated Mike Miller in the semi-main. And then the next day in Charlotte, North Carolina, we loop around to the television tapings, which we'll talk about on our next episode, the March 20th edition of the show, which was taped on March 17th, and while I will not reveal any results to you of that show, I can tease you with the preview that the WWE Network has given all of us. And that says, on this edition of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, NWA United States Champion Sergeant Slaughter and his allies make an example out of Jake Roberts, plus Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen unite for a tag team match main event as Terry Taylor takes to the ring for singles competition, and much, much more. And as we come to a close on this episode of the broadcast, the show that took place on Saturday, March 13th, 1982. Roman, I want to thank you very much for doing this show again with me here, too. We're going to, like we said, they're going to probably have a lot more open scheduling happening here pretty soon. So hopefully you'll be hearing from us sooner rather than later. And as always, we thank you for your patronage. If you haven't done it for whatever reason, please go over and give us a follow over at Mid-Atlantic Pod on Twitter. Join our Facebook group that we have there, too. I'm going to start posting more just on Twitter and the Facebook group. I'm going to do some on Facebook, but I want to try to limit it to some of the people that have been most loyal to us in that Facebook group from day one, and try to give them some longer form videos and some things like that that I can't put on Twitter. But of course, you know, Twitter is really accessible to everybody. It's perfect for a lot of the clips that we do, including on this day in JCP TV history and hashtag EverydayR. And we love doing that stuff. We love doing this show. This show is executive produced by me for the Arcadian Vanguard Podcast Network. And to lead us out, Bob Cottle letting us know what it is.
And that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.